If we stay the course, there is the prospect of a good summer on the way. That was the message from Dr. Ronan Glynn at NPHET's briefing last night. But with COVID case numbers averaging more than 500 daily and the R number, the rate at which the virus is increasing, still somewhere between 0.6 and 1, NPHET's chief modeller, Professor Philip Nolan, warned that we're sailing close to the wind and that a gust of wind in the wrong direction could see us in real trouble. Professor Philip Nolan, good morning to you.
Morning, Anya.
Where we're at, what's positive, what's concerning to you?
So in one sense, we've made extraordinary progress. We've gone from 6,500 cases a day in early January to 500 now. We've gone from an extraordinary situation where we had over 2,000 people in hospital with COVID to around 350 now. But I think we need to, because those initial figures are so extraordinary, we also need to remember in terms of those case counts, 500 a day, we're at twice what we were in December, 50 times what we were as we entered the summer last year. We've the same number of people in hospital now as we did at the peak in October. And we've almost twice as many people in intensive care as we did at the peak in October. So we've made this extraordinary progress, but we need to focus on the fact that the prevalence of the disease and the impact of the disease remains very high. And that leaves us in a place where we're making progress, but we're in a very precarious position. We're also at this delicate point where we're beginning to attend to and reopen our priorities, non-urgent healthcare and schooling. And this is not the time, unfortunately, this is not the time to relax in any way around the public health measures. This is the time to stay home. This is the time to only leave your home if it's for essential activities. This is not the time to have mixing between households. It's not the time to be going back to the workplace if it's not essential that you do so. And it is a matter of weeks that we need to exercise this care as the vaccination program continues, because that is the... There are two sources of hope right now. The first source of hope is that over the last 10 weeks, we have been successful in suppressing an extraordinary wave of disease. And the second beacon of hope is we've over 380,000 people who've received their first dose, 150,000 people who've received their second dose, and that program is accelerating.
All right.
So we need to stick with it. And this virus will exploit any chance we give it to come at us another time.
Let's break some of this down. First of all, you've told the government, haven't you, cases need to fall below 200 a day on average to ease restrictions significantly.
There's a range of metrics. One of the important things about the numbers is you have to look at them in the round and you have to look at them in context. So there's a range of metrics in the government plan. Yes, around the case numbers. More importantly, about the reproduction number as to whether the epidemic is shrinking or growing. The state of the vaccination program and the situation in hospitals. So that's why, as I outlined, a simple metric like case numbers being 50 or 100 or 150 or 200 alone would be a poor basis on which to make the decision. The government has the right set of parameters in the framework, and we're not there yet for the further types of reopening. Our focus right now should be on making the reopening of schools work by the rest of us being exceptionally careful not to spread the disease while that's going on.
How is the school reopening going in terms of outbreaks?
Very well, right through, and it's a testament to the work. Schools are not necessarily intrinsically safe environments. They're safer, they're low risk because of the measures that principals, teachers and public health doctors have put in place, the mitigating measures. And throughout the pandemic, we have seen no evidence of the opening of schools driving the pandemic, and we've seen very little evidence of transmission within schools. And even though it's very early days, we have had very few cases reported. There's only 6 outbreaks just opened, and very few cases associated with each outbreak. And even when an outbreak is declared, that's usually not evidence that there's been transmission in the school. It's usually evidence that the disease has been brought into the school by more than one person. So very well.
But that's going very well so far. But as you say, we're at a delicate tipping point. A gust of wind could put us in the wrong direction on this. So let's deal with a couple of issues. You know about the calls for more people to be able to attend funerals or church services at Easter, that golf, tennis, non-contact training for kids from April, these are all things that are being discussed. Is that reasonable or premature?
So a couple of things. The first thing is what does actually concern us? What concerns us is that as things begin to open, it's not so much the opening of that thing itself, it's the signal that we all read into it. I mean, this is very hard on all of us. It's a very long period of lockdown. It's going to continue for further weeks until we're closer to the disease being under control. So the first thing that we're concerned about is, for instance, around the opening of schools, the increased mobility and tendency to return to the workplace and increased social mixing that occurs around those, not the opening of schools themselves. And that's true into the future. The second thing I'd say is the vast majority of citizens in this country have made extraordinary sacrifices over the last year. 52 weeks of this, where, for instance, people have lost loved ones and had to manage their grief almost on their own because of the restrictions and the number of people attending funerals, for instance.
Yeah, we heard about that from the Irish Hospice Foundation yesterday, and it is heartbreaking. And the question people are wondering, are we living with these restrictions till we're all vaccinated at some point in the summer, or is there the prospect of easement? Given what you're saying, you don't sound so sure that April's going to be very much better than March.
I completely agree. People close to all of us have suffered this extraordinary grief over the last year. And what I worry about is that if we rush, we've had 52 weeks of this. In 10 weeks' time, we'll be in quite a different scenario. 10 weeks after that, we'll be in quite a different scenario again. And I worry that we might literally squander the sacrifice of thousands of people over the last 52 weeks if we rush to do things too quickly over the next 10 to 20 weeks. So it's not that nothing can happen until everybody is vaccinated. That's not true. And for instance, there was the step forward yesterday around increasing visitation in long-term residential care because of the impact of the vaccine. So I think the way to think about it is the vaccine program is ramping up really quite steadily. And as more and more people get vaccinated, there is more that we can do in the course of that vaccination program. Yes, there are some things that we're going to have to wait until we have population-wide protection before we can do them. But there are other things, priority things, that we can do sooner. Those priority things are around human health and services, education, outdoor activity, and so on.
So the prospect, if we do stay the course, if we get through this delicate tipping point that you've been describing where we're at the moment, and we manage to go on driving the numbers down, that as the vaccinations, and we hope it'll be 1 million a month, don't we, from April on, as the vaccinations kick in, there is the prospect that this will ease, you know, in the months ahead, April, May.
Yeah, I think Dr. Glynn put it very well last night. I mean, we've seen this before, where quite understandably, in a long period of restrictions, you see a kind of a level of slippage in the population. We get tired. We get lonely. We find it difficult. We mix a little bit more, each one of us, just a little bit more than we were 2 weeks ago. You can see the impact of that and the spread of the virus across the entire population. And when we see that, collectively, we pull back a little bit and we're back to suppressing the virus again. So that's our fundamental message right now. We can see some early worrying signs, the kind of signs we've seen before, and a plea with the public who have done this extraordinary work over the last 10 weeks, that if we are slipping a little bit right now, to pull back, keep the disease suppressed. In the grand scheme of things, it is a matter of weeks before we can begin to do more things because of the progressive protection of vaccination.
Thank you for joining us on the programme this morning, Professor Philip Nolan from Neffet there.